Well, this is the real BS show.
As real as it can get.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. It can't get any more real.
No.
Than us.
No,
we're the whole crew right here.
That's true.
What do you want to do today?
Look at this BS, you know.
Yeah, let's.
Namesake.
Let's have an hour's worth of BS. What's on your mind?
Man, a lot of things.
Yeah, it's awful. It's just everywhere you look is doom and gloom.
Well, you know, when you get out in nature and just kind of, it's such a relaxing state of mind. You can step away from every technology that you have around and just sit there in silence.
You mean Google can't track you while you're...
Google, you know, yeah.
Becoming one with nature.
No. You can turn off all those things, you know, and disable a lot of things. So things, different companies aren't tracking you and following you. And
boy, it's amazing how much tracking goes on. How much your phone? It's all on your phone.
Yeah.
It's like nobody has anything but cell phones anymore. Smartphones.
You know, people are worried about chips being implanted in people and being tracked that way. And boy, could they not be more wrong that cell phones became so prevalent in everything.
Yeah, you know?
I think one of the other aspects too that people forget is it's not just Google, it's Microsoft, it's Amazon, it's
Facebook.
Yeah. You know, Apple's definitely tracking too. You know, regardless of what you think they're doing, they're just taking more of a lion's share of the profit from tracking people. And if you think I'm just saying this to, you know, be a tinfoil hat, I think people need to know that I'm a developer, I'm a software engineer. So I'm in this industry. Even insurance companies are selling your data. I mean, they're making it anonymous. What's there, so your name's not in the data that's being sold, but they're taking that data and selling it. They're so that way people can advertise to those people with those diseases and issues and stuff like that and different medical problems. But that data's out there. It's
it's everywhere. I mean, everything you do.
But you know, the one side of it, you know, I'm not trying to like this may sound strange as I'm against, you know. I'm a very, you know, I'm against all this tracking and everything. I'm very pro-privacy. At the same time, wouldn't you want to have an advertisement that actually you would want? So they purposely track you to find out.
You mean they tell you about new things that you might be interested
that they know that you would be. They don't want to waste advertising money. Okay, that's a big problem. We're talking about advertising here. They don't want to waste money advertising to giving you an ad that you don't really want to care to see. So they would rather choose to give you an ad that they know that you would like. That's the big difference.
Yeah.
And I think that's what is missing in this equation. They're not wasting money. They're not wasting time with the advertising they're giving you. They know what you want. They know your personality. They know you what things you would enjoy. And so here's some ads that you would enjoy. And that's how I kind of look at it as, okay, it's not extremely bad, but, yeah, they're collecting your data.
You know, I say that to people. I say, you know, you're being tracked every last minute of your... Well, what's the difference? I ain't doing nothing wrong.
Yeah, I hear that one all the time.
That doesn't...
I have nothing to hide. I have nothing to hide is the one I hear. And right. I'm sitting there thinking, okay, give me your Social Security number, your birth date, and, you know, your name. And... That, you know, that should not be okay. You should not be okay. What's your home address? You know, what's your lock code to your phone? Those are things that we are giving away.
Yeah, what about your bank account? You know, give me your sign-in details.
There's been some experiments people did just to see how people would respond to it. And someone made an ATM that you couldn't withdraw money from, but it was like a top scoreboard who had the highest money in their bank account. And it ended up being an art exhibit. And I thought it was the funniest thing because there's people that actually put their debit card in there to be like having bragging rights, how much money they had in their bank account, not realizing it's showing your name, your bank account, how much money you have. And all you have to do is okay, so there's your name next to some money. Also, in your picture, there's a picture there too. And all it does is that someone could just look that up, you know? they could Google you. And now they know how much money you have. You're a target now. But, you know, no one cares. You know, yeah, it's a sad reality. Well, not, no one cares, but most people don't care. And, you know, I've been the one that's been on the edge out there saying, you really probably shouldn't have some of these apps on your phones. You know, I'm the type of person, I'll admit, I don't use my phone that often. Mainly because I'm at a computer.
Well, I think these apps share information with each other. I mean,
oh, sure, to a point, yeah.
You know, I remember when I was on Facebook, I'd go to Walmart and I'd buy some chocolate chips or something, and next thing you know, on Facebook, I'm seeing chocolate chip ads.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, how in the world, you know, it's just creepy to me.
It is. I think, you know, the one thing is, that people, you can block your ads on your phone too. There's AdAware, that's a program out there that can block ads. Some of these require a little bit more experience how to install them, but it's totally possible to block ads.
Well, you can block the ads, but the
even the tracking,
the
yeah.
people already got all your information
to a point. There's a ways of
blocking that.
You can there's things you can do to prevent trackers from happening on your phone. Or your computer. Like I said, I'm going to say 98% of the time I'm like on my computer because I'm programming and whatnot, and I rarely use my phone. But both my computers and my phones have track blocking and ad blocking, because I it's a weird world to be in. And you have to, then all of a sudden you see ads. It's kind of an odd thing to me. I don't, like I said, you know, I don't see ads at all. I don't see any commercials. I don't watch TV. I don't watch too many movies. And so when I go to someone's house to hang out or something like that, and there's ads on the TV or their phone has ads, it's odd to me. It's the oddest thing in the world because I'm so not used to seeing it. And
speaking of that, what's that, Alexia?
Alexa, yeah.
Well, Bezos is going to drop that.
Yeah, because it's not profitable.
It's not profitable at all.
Well, here's the problem. You got your cell phone. You could say, okay, Google, or hey, Siri, and boom, it's the same thing. Why would you need Alexa?
Well, I just was surprised to see that he's going to do away with it. Plus, he's laying off a lot of people, a lot of people.
But the reality is, are you to really pay for a device to sit in your home to listen all the time? You know, constantly listening. It's, you yeah. know, it's recording your conversations. Or you're gonna have a cell phone that's doing that. What's the difference? Both. Honestly, I don't use them, but both the OK Google thing and the Hey Siri thing are pretty darn good for what they are. You're talking into it, and it can tell you back.
Yeah.
What you need. And
scary. You're talking to a machine.
Yeah. Sure. Oh yeah. And it knows it knows what you want. It can tell.
Well, when I deliver wood to somebody, they give me their address, and I just pop it into maps there, and this lady starts talking to me.
Yeah.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
Go north on this road. And
yeah.
Turn left in 200 feet, and every time I get right to where I'm going. Yep.
It's one of those things that I think that we take for granted to a point, because this is stuff that's happened in the last 20 years. It's drastically changed. You know, I can tell you right now. You remember when you told me before about this? You had to train Dragon naturally speaking. You know, you had to speak. You ever did that before, right?
What?
Dragon naturally speaking, where you had a speech to text.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you had to train that. Yeah, you had to train that. You had to spend days, like a couple days, training the voice modules.
Yeah.
To understand what you were saying.
You don't have to do any of that now.
No, they know. They have enough of that information to be able to take a general consensus of what you are saying.
Well, if I want to text somebody, I sometimes hit the microphone and I just start talking.
Yep.
But you better check to see what I printed,
yeah, sure.
Because sometimes it gets it wrong.
You know, that's one of the things I say to people is I regret telling my mother about that feature, because that's all she uses now. She don't actually know how to use the keyboard on a phone. She'll sit there and talk to text, and I can tell when she's doing it. She does it 99% of the time, but there's a few mess-ups here and there.
Well,
but,
yeah, the thing will think you said one word, and it'll type something else than what you said. And sometimes it comes off pretty pretty rough.
But the main reason I have a problem with it is my mother uses it when we're out and about. Let's say I take her to lunch or something, And she's sitting there doing the talk to text thing. I'm like, mother, come on. Everyone's talking around you. We're at a restaurant. It's picking up other people's voices. And you just text with your fingers, you know, like, but yeah, it's interesting seeing how that technology has progressed. I remember showing my son that feature when they first got added. I gave him a tablet. It was like a $100 tablet from, I don't know, like Best Buy or something. And I showed him, he was like young. He was super young, like 4 or 3 years old. And I did it to show, give him educational things. Like there was educational apps and stuff on there. And he ended up looking, what does a bald eagle look like? What's a giant eagle look like? What's a brown, you know, all these eagles. He started like animals and stuff. He could sit there and talk to speech to text to it, you know, doing the okay Google thing. And he was able to see without typing. He didn't know how to type yet.
Yeah.
And that was amazing because that opened his mind.
That's good for me because I'm not a good speller either.
Right. But that's another thing too, is you can Google how to, or DuckDuckGo, you could use that to search how to spell something correctly. Yeah. The dictionary's online, you know, it's like, you know, these, you know, when I was a kid, I used to have to pull the whole book out and read the dictionary, and now it's like, it's all online.
Well, that never made sense to me. If you don't know how to spell something, how are you going to look it up in a dictionary?
Right.
You got to know how to spell it.
Right. And I think, you know, the other part that I'm popping here, I don't know what the other part.
I see that.
The other part that I see that is happening is if you used to know facts, if you used to know a bunch of facts, like historical facts and things like that, and that's no longer needed anymore. Like, you don't need to know those facts. You just search it. You can, if someone says a fact to you, like, oh, something happened, X, Y, Z happened in the past, you can just search it on the internet and tell if they're lying or not. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of these old stories that people used to tell.
Can you imagine how far we have come in the last 50 years,
yeah.
60 years?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, 60 years ago, we were happy to have a telephone with a party line.
Right,
know?
Right.
Now it's like, holy catfish.
I remember my great aunt that was born in 1926, and she was telling me how her parents saw the first flight. You know, they didn't see that, but they heard, read about it. The first man lighter than air flight. And then later on, her parents were talking about how they saw this first landing on the moon. You know, like, and now it's like, it's crazy. We are progressed so far. I think people forget that, and they think it's so horrible right now, but it's not. Yeah, it's a great time.
We've come a long ways, but in such a short amount of time.
Yeah.
I mean, like a generation.
And honestly, you know, think about this. You know, going back to the speech-to-text thing, not to write on that too long, but there's a reason I'm bringing this up, is who would have thought that came up? Who would have thought that right there, when you saw Star Trek or something like that, as a kid, my father used to watch Star Trek, so I'm speaking about this, they'd have walkie-talkies. They'd pick up a walkie-talkie and talk to each other that way. Whereas now, it's most people are not calling each other. They're texting or messaging each other through messages. And or they're using voice-to-text. They're not even talking to people anymore.
Well, walkie-talkies are easier.
Yeah, they were easier. But even then, they didn't picture that. You know, there's very few sci-fi books in the past that ever got anything right. The closest one I thought was The Machine Stops. We're more closer to Machine Stops as a short story by Ian Forster than any other sci-fi there is. And that was written in 1908. And the guy was dead right about almost the video calling, everyone's sitting in their house, not doing, you know, going meeting together. They all meet online. Really, that's where we're at right now. People don't get together too often anymore. I mean, it's really hard to get people together. It really is.
I was asking you a little while ago about the Amish people.
Yeah.
Are they being dragged into this?
Slowly.
I see them talking
very
on cell
slowly.
Phones.
They've always, the way I always explain the Amish is they always are one step back, like two or three steps back from modern civilization. So For instance, they did not embrace cars. And we have to remember the Amish...
Well, unless somebody else is driving.
Right, right, right.
That's a lot easier.
We have to remember the Amish came from the Mennonites. The Mennonites were the original ones. The Amish split away from the Mennonites, saying the Amish... The Amish said the Mennonites were too progressive. And so that's how the split happened. The Amish, especially the ones around here, are very conservative order. They're like old school Amish. They do not use technology. They might occasionally have a phone outside in their barn or a building that's separate out back or out front. Sometimes it's out front at the end of their driveway. But the ones around here, most of them do not use electricity. You go down to Lancaster or however they pronounce it down there, I'm not sure. But they all have electricity. They have like electric motors and stuff like that, and gasoline motors, like motorcycle motors, to generate electricity, like DC power only, no AC. And the reality is they slowly embrace technology. As long the key thing to it is as long as it doesn't divide their family up. That's how they view it. They do view things like cell phones, like modern cell phones, as dividing families up.
Mm. Well, I see them.
Well, that's the ones that shouldn't be using.
I see them at McDonald's with their cell phones.
Yeah, yeah. The reality is they should not be using cell phones. The ones around here, at least.
So they must hide them or something.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. I guarantee you that they are not supposed to have cell phones.
They shut the ringer off when they go home.
I can tell you a story about a guy. I won't mention his name, but he won't be listening to this, obviously, because he doesn't have a radio or a cell phone.
Internet.
Yeah, no internet. Is an Amish guy that came to my office one time. And this is because the place where the business cards in town were made went out of business. It was budget-wise, if you remember them.
Yeah.
And he came into my office and asked if I did business cards. I says, no, I don't, but for you, I will. And I just, this guy, how often do I get an Amish guy coming into my office? You know, I'm a programmer. You know, this is like...
Well, you use Vistaprint?
I use Vistaprint, yeah. I used Photoshop. I opened Photoshop and made a business card for him. And he sat down at my desk. I pulled a chair up for him. And I have three monitors. If you never know how my office was set up, on my desk, I had three monitors. So that's right there is right away not normal, okay, to him. Then I pull up Google Maps. Because I wanted to make sure I got his address right.
Did you show him his house?
I showed him his house with a satellite view, and he was blown away. He goes, how'd they get a picture of my house? And I was like, that's a satellite. That's up in space going around the Earth. And he was just blown away by this. And after a while, he kept on coming in every so often to get new business cards. And we built a decent friendship. Yeah, I wouldn't want to call it friendship. But
was he okay with color?
That's a funny story because his elders told him no color. So he had to come back and get a new business card ordered, a whole new one ordered that was black and white or grayscale. The proper term is grayscale. So I went to Photoshop and changed it to grayscale real quick so it's not any color at all. But now I've seen his new latest business cards. There's color in them. So he must be an elder now. See, that's the problem. You get these older, like, 70 and 80, 90-year-old men that are basically the elders of that local church. And Amish are not one huge group. They have all individual churches. And so those elders will say, we don't want business cards to be colored. You cannot have colored business cards. And so they have to have black and white. And then the next generation, his generation, are like, we want colored business cards. It's stupid that you're worried about these colored things. The reason these elder ones didn't want that is because they didn't want you standing out as an individual, being proudful. You see, that's the problem in their beliefs, that having colored business cards can make the person proud.
So what's up with their hats? I see different.
Yeah, that's an interesting
hats,
one. Yeah,
guys with beards, without beards.
Yeah.
Even the women got different colored hats.
Yeah, some have beards. No. So the thing with that is, from what I understand, is the men that have beards are married. The men that are not married do not have beards.
So they have to shave?
They have to shave.
So that's why they get married, so they don't have to shave.
Yeah, right.
Oh, okay.
So then the other one is around here, the conservative order, because we have the old order, they call it, Amish. No electricity, very old school. Kind of some things, they go do shop at some stores once in a while to buy foods, but that's different.
Oh, yeah, I see them at Walmart and McDonald's all the time.
Oh, yeah. But the ones that around here, they have black bonnets for married women and white bonnets for unmarried women. Men that are married...
Well, that makes it easy.
Oh, yeah, you can tell right away who's innocent and who's not.
You don't want to dance with a lady that's got a black hat.
No,
on.
You might have her husband come over. Yeah. And that's the other thing, too, is they're nonviolent. So that they don't believe in violence. They don't believe in fighting wars. They are not supposed to be committing murder, but that's happened a few times, but it's rare. They believe in, they don't accept Social Security. So they don't pay into Social Security, and later on in life they will not receive a Social Security from the government. They have their own Amish insurance. So if someone gets hurt, then the whole church will take care of that person. That's how they operate things.
Do they go to hospitals?
They do once in a great while. They try kind of shy away from it. That births are happened, the babies are being born at home. Men, if they get injured, if it's severe enough, then they'll go to the hospital. But other than that, they're really not too much going to the hospital. Oh, but the men too. The men have black hats, and you, typically that means
married guys have
usually,
black hats.
And the younger boys, they'll have the straw hats.
Straw hats,
yeah. Yeah. So that's a defining factor.
That's new. I didn't know that.
But the bonnet thing is interesting because, you know, I remember when I was younger, I was 16 years old, and I swear to this today that the two hottest girls I ever saw in my life were twins that were Amish girls. And they were gorgeous. 10 out of 10 beauty.
Did they have white hats?
They had white hats on.
Oh, did they?
Well, yeah, yeah.
They were open season.
Yeah, they were, but, you know, not they would not accept me. Around here, they don't have Run Springer.
Well, you didn't have any hat.
No, I had no hat. I had a hat that they made me wear for work, but that was a long time ago. But these are things, you know, like they have a way different culture than us. Way different.
Yeah.
And I think that's...
They might be right, though.
Maybe, in some realms.
The way it's going.
In some realms, they view the world totally different than us. But
of course, they travel on the same roads that we all pay for.
Oh, sure.
They don't pay for them.
No.
There's no gas tax on.
Well, they do pay gas when they have to ride in a van. Like there's whole industries of people just being transportation vans for them, and I think that's a big distinction.
Amish Ubers?
Yeah, basically they had Ubers before anybody else did.
Yeah, they invented it.
But no, they're for the most part they're cool people. They're reserved. I can usually talk to them on a level, and we can all have a common, you know, understanding of things, you know. The weirdest thing, though, is seeing the kids. Like, the younger kids don't speak to you. It's the elders that speak. So if you were to go to an Amish house and want to do business with them, the elder kids, if the mother and father aren't there, they'll speak to you, but the younger kids don't speak to you. And so
they sure are cute, though, the way they dress
them
up.
Yeah. And they're so shy, too. They're like, oh, they're petrified when you, like, they must tell them that we're like Satan or something. Yeah, I don't know. Because they're like so petrified when they see
you. Don't talk to strangers.
Yeah, don't talk to strangers. Yeah. There's evil people out there. You know, I just, so that's an interesting culture. I remember some people asking, why do they stare at me? It was one lady that was, she was not used to, she'd never seen Amish before. And I says, that's because you're probably staring at them. You know, because they're like, why are you staring at me? I'm, you know, because...
Well, they don't have guns either, do they?
Oh, they have guns.
Oh, they do?
They hunt.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they hunt.
Can they defend themselves with guns?
From my understanding is the way they came from, they came from what's called the Anabaptists. And so there's a split in that division. I'm not 100% sure if they are allowed to defend themselves. They might believe that you're not allowed to defend yourself. That's how the Anabaptists, because Anabaptists and Baptists are different. Anabaptists believed in nonviolence completely, but there was a division in the Anabaptist groups.
You got tired of being kicked around.
Yeah, because they did. They were slaughtered in many places by different religious groups. So that's why many of them came here, because they didn't want to be persecuted.
Oh, that was over in Europe someplace.
Yeah, yeah.
Germany.
Yeah, Germany. Yeah, most of the Amish are like Swiss or Western German. And they were persecuted over there and decided to come here.
Daniel Boone was a Quaker.
Yep, yep.
I didn't know that.
Quakers are an interesting group. You know,
I don't know nothing about them. But
they believe in nonviolence, too. They also believe that you... there's no preacher. That's another thing. There's some people that do lead services somewhat, but for the most part, they don't have a leader in the church, and so they basically all stand up once in a while and say something. But there's mostly
sitting. As Quakers?
Yeah, they sit in a church silently.
Is there still Quakers around?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they are?
Yeah, yeah.
Pretty, not around here, though.
There's one in near, I believe, yeah.
How would you know a Quaker when
they'll
you
say
saw it?
They'll say it on their church sign.
Well, I know, but I mean, if you see them.
Oh, they're just, they don't dress, they're dressed like us. They use modern technology.
So they blend right in.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Actually, if you want to be tactical, that's what it made our state. This Pennsylvania was started by Quakers that believed in religious tolerance.
William Penn.
Yep. We were the first state to allow complete religious tolerance. It didn't matter if you were Christian, Muslim, Jew, Buddhist, whatever. The atheist, even, deist, whatever. They didn't care. As long as
Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania, yeah. Yeah. We were one of the first states to abolish slavery. That's why George Washington couldn't keep his slaves in Philadelphia for too long, because he had to return them back to Virginia after 6 months, because if you had them here for more than 6 months, they became free automatically.
Hmm. I think you did lose a couple.
You did. They ran off, and they were free. We tend to forget that our state was pretty neat. It is a neat state. It has its problems, but, you know, people make fun of Pennsylvania, but I'm going to tell you right now, it's a great state.
Well, if you live
state.
Outside Philadelphia, you're okay.
Oh, yeah. You live outside, yeah.
Inside Philadelphia.
Yeah, yeah.
Hang on to your bootstraps.
Like I said, you know, there's a lot of beauty in this state if you get out in nature. I was talking about in the beginning, you know, just getting out there and separating from the world for a bit and just sitting in nature and just the quiet nature and hearing the birds and hearing.
Yeah, that's where I live.
Yeah, I know. It's a beautiful thing. I think people need to do it more often. Just get out there. Maybe just for a couple hours a week. Maybe more than that. But just get out there. Walk around. Take it all in, because...
Well, if you go out in the woods and you just sit down, and at first you don't see anything, maybe.
Right.
If you just sit there real still, pretty soon, next thing you know, there's a chipmunk here, a chipmunk there, birds here,
right.
Birds there. Deer might come walking by. I mean, you know, if the wind's blowing the right way. It's you just sit still, and if you just sit still,
oh yeah,
it'll all show up.
It's I had an angry squirrel come up on a tree. It was originally on the ground. It was like probably 3 feet away from me. You don't really want a squirrel too close to you, because they do bite. But I looked over at him, and the squirrel, ran up the tree and just was, you know, chirping at me, you know, like barking at me, because I was in its area with its nuts. but other than that, it's very.
Hey, do they hibernate?
No.
They're still seeing them running around.
Oh yeah, they're running.
I almost
around.
Hit one on the way here.
Yeah, there's some big gray squirrels out there too. But like I said, you know, nature is such a beautiful thing.
I got a black squirrel that's running around my house.
Oh yeah, they're pretty. Do they eat the deer corn too?
I don't think the deer don't leave it there long enough for anybody, because they're right there, boy. As soon as I pour that stuff out there, it's like they can smell it a mile away or something. I don't know. But, of course, they show up at 3, 4 o'clock every day anyway. So they pretty much lick the bowl, and so there ain't nothing left. But I throw bread, old stale bread and stuff like that out there, and the birds and the crows and the blue jays, they just love it. You know, they just... I mean, they try to take a whole slice of bread and fly off with it, you know.
Right.
They have a heck of a time. The crows, they'll eat anything. I mean, geez, oh, man.
It's one of the things that led to the early domestication of dogs and cats, is they were on the edge of human settlements. When people first started settling down, before settling down, dogs were domesticated first. And they just were on the edges of where people threw the bone piles. And so those dogs became tolerable, right? They didn't bite us, so we kept them around. The moment they bit us, they were gone, you know. But the ones that didn't bite us and we could pet, sooner or later, they started becoming very friendly to us. And then you get the cats. Well, you think about it, you have to store grains. They have found evidence of cats being around for 12,000 years being domesticated, and they kept the mice away. You know, there was a beneficial there. And also, they didn't eat our grains. Dogs would eat grain, you know. Yeah. So cats, they didn't eat that. They just ate the mice and rats. And over time, we became symbiotic. You know, we became helping each other. It's kind of a weird relationship. You think about that. Think about that for a second. What animals really out there have pets? I don't think any other animal has pets, you know.
Not that I know of.
And yet here we are. We have horses. We have dogs. We have goats. We have sheep. We have cats. We have all these domesticated animals that we have done. And it was really not big, not too, they all came from one area, the Middle East, you know, the Fertile Crescent. All those animals really pretty much came from the Fertile Crescent. Isn't that crazy? We just, out of nowhere, just boom, here we are domesticating animals.
Now they're everywhere.
Yeah, they're everywhere. If you want to be technical, they're very successful. You think about dogs are very successful. They came from wolves that have been almost eradicated around the world. And yet, here we are. Dogs are everywhere.
You know, how is it that these crows and these turkey vultures and all that, they can eat these old dead animals laying along the road? Yeah. It's got to be, you know, just rotten.
There was a study done on that.
They must have stomach acid that would kill anything.
There was a study on it that basically they don't have the stomach acid. They just consume it because they are very, they can have a higher chance, you know, survival rate with that. And they've done studies on that, actually. Why are birds so, you can't sit there and take a mammal and have them eat something that's extremely rotten like that. They'll get sick. Yeah. Whereas birds, they're okay with it.
Their nose tells them right away, don't eat that.
Well, a good example is look at peppers, like chili peppers and things that are really spicy. Most mammals will not eat that stuff. They avoid it, right?
Yeah, but, like me.
Yeah, but birds and humans, some humans, love spicy foods. Birds, they can't taste spicy. They spread the seeds. So those plants have over time evolved to prevent mammals from eating them, but only allow birds to eat them because they want the birds to spread the seeds the furthest. Because mammals will probably just keep it in that area. Isn't that crazy? You know, like, we're living in a garden, in my opinion. But yeah,
it's pretty neat the way Mother Nature just takes care of business.
Oh, sure. I mean, and it's brutal at the same time. It's extremely brutal.
Well, survival of the fittest, I guess, you know.
It is a rough, rough world out there that I think, you know, while it's beautiful, it's relaxing to be in, but to survive in it, that'd be a whole different ballpark.
Yeah.
That I think about, again, we go back to our modern technologies that we have. We're in a bubble compared. We put the safety bubble around us that we can go to a grocery store and get food. And everyone says that all the time. But to really put that into perspective, you've gardened before. How hard is it to grow food?
No, it's not hard. It's the weeds that get you.
Exactly. or pests or animals, and those destroy your crops.
Yeah, right. Deer, they'll come and eat everything.
But think about that. Our ancestors had to all struggle with that. And here we are.
Yeah, they couldn't go down to Home Depot and buy a fence.
No, they couldn't. They couldn't easily just go to the grocery store if their crops failed. You know, like I grew up from a family of farmers on my mother's side. And literally, that's the struggle you had to face is crop failure, things like that. You know, animals dying. You know, these are things, or injuries on the farm. You know, like, I have great uncles and aunts that got injured on the farm and stuff when they were younger and died or were severely injured. And we don't face those issues today. Our biggest threat is, you know, getting into a car and getting a car wreck, you know.
Well, that's what I've heard people tell me, that they don't hunt. They don't want to harm animals. They go down to Walmart or down to McDonald's where
they're separated from that process. Yeah,
they can get a hamburger and it doesn't hurt any animals.
You know, I hunt, and it's something that, to me, it's not a sport. To me, it's for the meat. And I will say that when you have to process your own deer and you shoot your own deer, it is much more in tune. I take it as people don't want to accept that how animals die in nature is extremely brutal. If they live to an old age, let's say a deer lives 10, 20 years, that's an older age for a deer.
I see some deer that are kind of up there and they have a little trouble chewing that corn.
That's the problem. They start losing their teeth, and then what the other problem is they become compromised to other animals taking them down. And I won't go into full details how predators will attack an animal. They'll eat it alive. That's what I will say. And they start from somewhere that you'd least expect it. And it's a brutal way to go. Another one is getting hit by a car. That's a pretty horrendous way to die, because they don't die right away. They go run off in the woods and lay down somewhere, then die a miserable death. Whereas me, I go out there in the woods and I try to go for the largest deer I can find, and I shoot it with one round. I don't try to blow up a deer with multiple rounds, and I put that deer down as quick as possible with one round. That's my objective, and I find that to be the most humane way to end an animal's life that's older than having it die a miserable death in the woods, because it's really a brutal way to die.
Because they don't know they're dying. They just run off.
Then they get attacked by a coyote or something, and they're, or a wolf, and they're just, they're being ate alive while they're still living. Whereas me, I'm just ending their life as soon as quick as possible. And I think that's, we have to look at it, and so I'm not trying to make an argument that it's more ethical, but it's more ethical than chicken farms, for instance. It's more ethical than factory farms. And on top of that, I know where the meat's coming from. Number two, let's be realistic here. Being vegetarian is not that easy. There's too many studies in science have shown that people that are vegetarian are not getting all their vitamins and nutrients. Even if they try taking multivitamins, it's still not being absorbed. I find meat to be a very powerful food. You know, it's very healthy and it's very lean meat.
I think that's how we all started.
Way
back 100, 200,000 years ago.
I find that if people were to eat meat that's wild game, they might find that it's actually healthier.
I wonder who started cooking the meat first.
That's an interesting thing right there, because you think about it. This may sound weird when I say this. This is a lot of study. I did a lot of study in this, Bill. This is kind of funny that you mentioned this. But cooking changed humanity drastically, because before, you had to chew food for long periods of time. If you look at chimpanzees, our closest relatives, they chew food for a long time, and they have huge gut systems compared to us. Whereas cooking changed us, to made our gut systems a lot smaller, and cooking gave us more calories. It broke apart the food. When you cook it, it breaks it apart and gives you more calories. Some people think, oh, that doesn't make sense. No, it does. It actually adds more calories when you cook it, because it allows you to digest it easier. You don't have to chew as long. You don't have to digest the whole thing. So our gut systems became smaller because we cooked and we used fire. And that's a beautiful thing right there, that our ancestors were cooking things a long time ago. And the earliest evidence, I think, is like a million years.
Do you think first started doing that? Colonel Sanders?
No, a million years ago. It must have been Caveman Sanders.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we've been cooking for a long time. And
say, hey, honey, here, taste this. I stuck it over the fire for a while. Boy, is that good.
Imagine the first person that did that and thought, wow, this is amazing.
Yeah.
Because there is something, because try eating a raw foods diet. You're going to lose weight, and you could possibly die. We are not made for raw foods.
Yeah.
Our human body is made to be for cooked food, because we have such a small digestive tract system. It's a serious thing that I don't think people take in consideration how important cooking made us. You know, because, you know, we can't eat raw foods only. You can't sit there. Okay, if you get rid of meat, okay, ignore meat for a second. If you were to only eat fruits and vegetables, you would lose weight drastically and be not healthy at all, because your gut is not made for that. And that's a major thing that changed. And I think the other thing too is you think about it in the context of our modern civilization that we have all these lights, right? We're missing out on what the early television was, of seeing at night sky, of the Milky Way and all the stars. That television is gone, and we're missing it. I think that's a major thing that's really tragic. I remember when you were mayor, you were trying to convince them to shut the lights off in Union City.
I asked them at a council meeting. I said, how many people turn all the lights on in your house and go to bed?
Right.
Nobody. I said, well, that's what our town's doing. We're just turning on all the lights, and everybody's going to bed.
Right.
And then we get a $50,000 a year electric bill.
But imagine this. If we just took a couple days of the year on a clear night and turned off the lights completely in this town, we could see the Milky Way probably. And we're missing that.
Well, that's where I am. I'm out so far out. There's no lights anywhere. So
right.
And at nighttime, it's dark.
And you can see the stars pretty good. You can see the Milky Way pretty good?
Oh, yeah. At times, you know, certain times. The moon, I mean, when there's a full moon, I mean, it's. I think it makes my solar panels work. I don't know. It's so bright out. It's unbelievable. It's almost scary.
Right.
It's so bright, and the stars are just amazing. Ooh, just amazing. And I know all those stars that you see, the light you're seeing is probably a million years old or something.
Yeah, it's been traveling for so long. Yeah. Isn't that a little scary?
Yeah, that's weird. I mean, some of those stars probably aren't even there anymore.
That's what they're saying. Some of them aren't, yeah.
Yeah.
Like they say Betelgeuse is a star, and it's gone. It's already exploded.
You know, I was wondering why the Big Dipper didn't lose its shape or something, because the stars are all traveling away from us.
Right, right.
Why wouldn't it distort the shape of Orion's Belt and all that stuff? That stuff's been around forever.
Because it's closer to us, and so it's not moving as far away from us. The galaxies are moving away. That's when they say the universe is expanding, and so it's like a balloon being blown up. Our local stars to us are closer to us, so they're not moving away as fast. They're actually rotating with us around the galaxy center. So like how the Earth is that
the black hole?
Middle
of the Milky Way.
So you know how like the Earth and all the planets are rotating around the Sun. The Sun and the solar system is rotating around the galaxy, in the center of the galaxy. We're like an arm out there.
So just the galaxy is just floating around.
Yeah, it's rotating. It's orbiting. Yeah.
Well, how many? I mean, the Milky Way.
Has billions of stars.
It's just floating around out there?
Yeah, but it's floating around, but it's also
spiraling. Isn't there other galaxies?
Oh, yeah. But the Milky Way, it's spinning, too. Yeah. I think it takes, 100,000 years or 200,000 years for it to do a one rotation. I'd have to look that up. I don't want to quote that, but it's a lot of many years to do a complete rotation of the Milky Way. It might be 10,000 years. I'm not sure, but it could be 100,000 years, it could be 20,000 years, or 10,000 years, something like that.
Well, it doesn't matter to us. It's
outside of our conception.
We'd be lucky to see 100 years.
but you have to think about that. It's spinning, it's orbiting around in space, and then on top of it, not only is the solar system spinning itself, but it's spinning in the galaxy is spinning around something else, too. Even bigger.
It's a wonder they don't hit each other.
Well, they're so far apart. They said that Andromeda galaxy is supposed to collide, quote unquote, with the Milky Way in I think 10 million years. But the reality is, none of those stars or planets are going to ever hit each other. It's that far apart in the galaxies themselves. So that's how far apart our stars are between us. But still, those aren't expanding.
That's so far-fetched. I mean, it's just it's beyond understanding. I mean, how can you?
I can't imagine it.
So many years and so many.
In vastness.
How old's the Earth?
4.2 billion.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, it's old. But really, I mean, you go back to something the size of Mars collided with the Earth. And then the remnants of the, because it became the core of the Earth, and the remnants exploded into space, and then sooner or later coalesced and become the moon. And that's what our moon is made of a mixture of Earth matter and something that was a Mars-shaped planet.
So all this rotation and gravity is what makes everything round.
Yeah, yeah. And then on top of it, that's why we have a tilt to our planet and why we spin and... All these things are because of something that happened 4.1 billion years ago. It was real close to after the Earth was formed. Something like that happened, and here we are. If we didn't have the tilt to our Earth, we wouldn't have the seasons. If we didn't have the rotation, we'd be tidal locked with the sun.
Well, if we didn't have the moon, we'd be in trouble,
too. There you go. Yeah, exactly. All these things. Those three things alone are just a few, but that's like a butterfly effect, you know, like major.
So our sun is like a star.
Oh, yeah.
It's just another star.
Yeah. Nuclear fission,
So there could be solar, the same setup could be at all these other stars.
Oh, easily, yeah.
So there could be a lot of Earths out there someplace.
Oh, definitely. Well, I question how much life is out there.
They haven't come to see us yet, so
I don't think they have.
At least not that we know of.
Well, we do have the things from the recent UAPs that the government has said we don't know what these are. That I'm still up in kind of like, is it another country? Is it I'm trying to like eliminate the most basic ideas here, well, you know, issues. It could be another country flying these UAPs. It could be our own government. It could be extraterrestrials. You know, it could be something completely foreign from this Earth, or it could be something that's older, that's been in the water for a long time in a civilization. I'm just throwing I don't believe it, that part, but you know, hey. It's possible.
Anything's possible, I guess.
Keep my mind open. But the reality is this is the first time the U.S. government has finally said, we have something that our pilots are having a problem with. And it's kind of ironic that you mentioned this, because you brought this topic up in the past week. After being out in the woods for 2 weeks, I have been watching a lot of interviews with these pilots, these Navy pilots. And these are not guys that are just conspiracy nuts. They're not like wackos, you know, that have tinfoils on their hats. These guys are legit college-educated professional pilots, and, you know, they're officers, and they're not some low-ranking officers. They're like captains, majors, you know, they're like higher, you know, they're actual good officers, and they're reporting this stuff saying, the reason we're concerned about it is because we're almost getting hit by them, because that's what their concern is. The U.S. government's not doing anything about them, and they're flying into these zones, and these objects are coming at them. You know?
Speaking of that, the other day, it's probably a week ago or so, I was talking to somebody on the phone. He wanted to buy some wood or whatever it was. Talking to him on the phone, I said, and I'm looking out my window, and it's dark out, and all of a sudden I seen this big, bright light coming across it was big. It was almost as big as the moon. It was coming across, and then it started like flames and stuff, like a comet or something.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah, it was coming across there. Whoever I was talking to on the phone, I said, "Hold it! Holy smokes! Look what I'm seeing!" And sure enough, a lot of other people saw it all the way down to North Carolina and
probably was a meteorite,
Pittsburgh or whatever. But boy, was it bright! Huh. I mean, it was scary. That's an alien or of some sort. You know, I mean, it was just amazing, and you know, I didn't hear anything about it. Of course, I don't watch any news or anything, so I don't know.
I've seen meteorites before come in like that, but nothing big.
Big, holy smokes!
But imagine the ancient people
just
seeing
right
that.
Over, and then it kind of started flaming and stuff, and then it just disappeared. It, you know,
must have burned in the atmosphere. Yeah,
I don't know if it burned out or if it just got out of my sight over the horizon. You know, I don't know how far away it was, but it was close to the ground. It wasn't that high up.
It kind of reminds me of, like, think about the ancient people, if they seen something like that and didn't know that's something, a meteorite that's burning in the atmosphere from the space. That came from millions of miles away, and now is landing. It's like a meteor that's broken up into smaller pieces, and that's why it's blowing. It's burning up in the atmosphere. Imagine they didn't know what the heck that was. So a good example is Halley's Comet. You know that one, right?
Yeah,
that's one that those guys, the Nikes, the Kool-Aid they drank and died. The Halley's Comet. What was their name? Heaven's Gate. Remember them in the 90s?
Oh yeah.
So Heaven's Gate. Now, here's the thing about the Halley's Comet. 1066, William the Conqueror, right? He's the Norman that's going into England to conquer it. He had Halley's Comet and proclaimed, this is going to be our sign of victory. And that was right before the Battle of Hastings, who after the, you know, King Harold had to fight the Vikings, the Scandinavians off in the north, had to march down in 2 or 3 days to meet William the Conqueror and get killed by William the Conqueror's army. And there, that changed the whole world. In my opinion, it changed the whole world, because William the Conqueror changed England, changed the world.
Back in high school, that's what they called me, William the Conqueror.
Oh, really? There you go. Bill's going to grow a French mustache.
I was a good wrestler back in high school.
I believe it.
Long time ago. Oh, shoot. Hey, you want to just shoot the breeze for a while?
Sure.
You know, we got all this nice background music.
Yeah.
Kind of augment what we're talking about.
Yeah.
What was we talking about? Oh, I was watching, who was that? John Kerry.
The
environmental guy.
Yeah.
He's saying that America should have to pay for being so filthy dirty. We're dirty, dirty, dirty. That's what he kept saying.
They're going to argue these,
We put so much CO2 in the atmosphere, right. Blah, blah, blah. But yet you look at him and all his buddies riding around on these jet airplanes, you know.
Hypocrites, aren't they?
Holy smokes. I mean, 50 minutes on his airplane is like, 10 SUVs for a year.
Yep.
I mean, he says, well, I have work to do, and I'm such a big shot, and I have to do this, you know. It's very important work that I'm doing, and I mean, what a bubblehead, bonehead jerk! I mean,
the main issue with the CO2 argument that they make is CO2 is not the major greenhouse effect that we should be concerned about. It's not. There's worse. There's methane. We should be more worried about methane.
Well, there you go. Let's kill all the cows.
Well, not just the cows. But you think about methane, it's coming out of our landfills. I mean, geez, we're just pumping. The methane needs to be pumped out of the landfills, in my opinion. We
got to capture it.
I agree 100%. They need to capture
people's houses with it.
They should. And there's countries doing that. In Iceland, they're capturing methane and reusing it. In Norway, same thing. And we should be doing the same here.
But I heard this John Kerry guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, he I think I voted for him for president way back in this early 2000s or mid 2000s or something. Uh-huh. I think, oh, man, I'm glad he didn't become president. And who's that other guy, Al Gore?
Yeah. You know, you ever see his electrical usage?
He's such a hypocrite. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, his electricity usage is through the roof. And he has like a few solar panels for show.
He didn't have any. Last time I knew, down here in California, after he divorced his wife, no solar panels, none. George Bush got a couple of them.
Oh, sure.
Just just to be, stay up with the Joneses.
I think that's one of the scams in this modern age is the green, that we both have solar panels, so we're speaking this from experience. There's some people out there that preach about the Green Deal and don't live it. And then there's people that, like you and me, that both believe that solar panels have their purposes, but they're not a cure for all. They can't, we don't have enough battery storage to supplement this whole country. There's no way.
No, well, everybody's got too many appliances and
right.
stuff like
that's,
that.
That's why we need nuclear. But you don't ever hear them talk about this, that John Kerry or Al Gore, they never mention that we need nuclear energy. And I will admit, this is one thing I agree with Biden, probably the only thing, is Biden actually is pro-nuclear.
Well, Biden's killing. There's a certain kind of whale out there that's becoming extinct because of the green energy thing. And I forgot the exact details, but there's I can't remember the name of the whale, but there's only like 300 left in the whole
right
world, and they're going down fast.
And partially to blame with that is Japan. They are continually going after whales. They're one of the few countries that still go whaling, and there's issues. Now what are we supposed to do about that? We're gonna go after Japan about it.
Well, there's something that Biden's doing, or the Green New Deal people are doing, that's specifically killing this one kind of whale.
Ah.
And a couple of years ago there was 500, now there's like 300.
Right.
And I can't remember the name of the whale.
I can look
it's
it up.
Not, it's not the gigantic big ones. It's kind of a half-sized one.
It's like a sperm whale?
I don't know, something smaller than the big blue whales. But oh, shoot. I shouldn't have brought it up because I can't remember the name.
That's right. The thing is we do have a lot of...
I'm just saying, it's World Economic Forum, guys, unelected, and they want to rule the world. They want the world to be run by one outfit, one leader or whatever. New World Order or something.
Right.
It just doesn't make sense. I mean, everybody's different.
I think that one of the things that we have to realize is, that other countries are not going to back on their carbon and methane increases. their greenhouse increases are going to be happening in Africa, in different countries in Africa, in Asia, Eastern Asia, and India. Those countries are going to be rising up. And that's why right now, all those countries are extremely high polluting. And they're going to sit there and point at you.
They all want electricity.
Oh, sure. They want the modern conveniences. I mean, yeah. Do you not blame them? I don't blame them. But the reality is you know, I don't know if you've ever seen the pictures of some of those countries. The most polluting rivers in the world are not in Europe or in North America. They're in Asia and Africa. And they're just throwing trash after. It's like they're trash dump. They're throwing all the trash into their rivers. It's completely tragic. What's happening to our oceans is a concern. It seems like we're overfishing them. I think that's a major concern of mine. There has to be some way of...
Government will fix everything.
Well, you know... It's,
I think they're the ones that caused everything.
I think this is where... I'm not going to say the government's going to fix it, because they're not. I think what's going to happen is science is going to fix it, and technology and businesses are going to solve it. So a good one that I support is factory farms of fish. And also, I also highly support lab-grown meat. I think lab-grown meat's going to be the savior of us, and it'll be actually a carbon capture. And that's what I will put my money behind, is lab-grown meat. Is they can cell-based grow the meat and make it better consistency, no parasites, no toxins. Here's the meat being grown in a pure form.
And no cows breaking wind.
No cows breaking wind. look right there. The whole meat industry's freaked out about the lab grown meat thing. I'm talking both the fishers, there's companies right now selling lab grown meat, and it's right now expensive, but you know how things go over time as technology increases.
Let the market figure it out.
Exactly. You know? Look at cell phones. They used to be super expensive in the late 80s and 90s, right? They used to be super expensive, and now they're dirt cheap. Dirt cheap.
I paid $70 for mine.
Right. See what I'm saying? Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, so imagine this. In 10, 15 years, lab-grown meats can be super cheap. It'll be cheaper than... you buying real, I don't want to say real beef, because they're cloning cells that's meat cells and fat cells. So you can have meat and fat in your food. It's going to be exactly the same consistency. They already have the consistency thing down. So now it tastes, it has the same texture as beef or seafood.
So you won't know the difference.
You won't know the difference. Right now, you don't know the difference.
Yeah, so you don't know what you're eating now, like at McDonald's or Burger King.
But the price is too high right now for lab-grown meat. The price will go down over time. Oh. And in 10 to 15 years, I guarantee you, we'll see the price go down so much. And they're going to label it. They'll sit there and tell you it's a cell-cultured meat, things like that. Yeah. And guess what? Why not eat something that's more nutritious like that, that has no harm at all? I guarantee you that'll convert a lot of vegetarians back to eating meat. So I will concede that's more humane than having a bunch of cows or chickens or whatever and have to slaughter them all. That is way more humane. Yeah. But other than that, you're still eating meat, and that allows you to have your protein. And I think
I've never heard of that. So
it's a massive thing that's been happening in the last 10 years, and the science has drastically grown. There's a company right now doing salmon. And I'll be honest with you, I think that's where people need to put money at, because it's going to be a big growing thing. And if the meat industry, especially the beef industry, is getting their boots shaken by it, then they should, because it's going to drastically change everything. We're going to see healthier food. We're going to see, imagine taking cells from a grass-fed beef, the meat of it, and then growing that, and then you continually just are growing it. You don't ever have to worry about slaughtering new cows for that. You have the cells there, and you can keep on growing it and growing it and growing it. And that's what they're doing. Huh. And they also are sending electrical impulses to it to work the muscle, so it gets worked, so it becomes more authentic. That's how they're getting the texture down, because that's what your nerves are doing in your brain. You're sending electrical impulses through your whole body to move your muscles and your tendons. And that's what they're doing to this meat. It's not it's alive, but not really. You know what I'm saying? It's like, this is not a cow. It's just the muscle of a cow. And they're making it function and work it out. And that's what they're doing. And this is something amazing. So that's one technical advance. There's other ones. Okay, there's people cleaning the oceans up with plastic. That's a big thing. Now, here's another problem. Microplastics. They're in our water. They're even in women's breast milk. Like, women that produce milk in their, you know, in their breasts. The babies are drinking milk that has microplastics in it. They're finding microplastics in fetuses and babies that are in the womb. We have a problem with that. That's a major concern.
So it must be in our food then.
Yes. Also, they're finding it in animals. They're finding it in nature. They're finding it in rivers and waterways. And that's a major concern that nobody's talking about. See, they're all focused on this greenhouse gas thing. And that's just a minor thing that's happening. And I don't even think the temperatures, I personally, from what I've seen with the models, we know what happens when plants get CO2.
They grow big.
Yeah, thank you. They grow much. Our crops are growing very well, Bill.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too. You know, CO2 make bigger trees faster.
Right. You know? The only problem is it does make, like, hurricanes. You know, we've not seen an increase of hurricanes. That's one thing, okay? The number of hurricanes have remained the same. They kept on saying there's going to be more hurricanes. That's not true. We've not seen an increase of hurricanes.
Well, what about the drought? I mean,
that's a problem. Yes,
we're really in a bad way out west.
I mean,
it's bad.
And that's because they are destroying the trees and stuff.
Yeah.
They have to start replanting those trees.
Did you see that? British Columbia is, they're clear cutting British Columbia to make pellets for England.
Yep.
To burn in their wood stoves.
Yeah.
Pellets. I mean, big container ships are going back and forth from British Columbia to England, and with pellets, and they're just, you know, they said they were just taking the tops of these trees and all the brush and scrub, and but they're not. They're taking the whole tree. They're just clear cutting acres upon acres of woods up there, and it's hemlock, it's spruce. It's not hardwood, it's soft.
Yeah,
and they're making pellets and shipping them to England, and. British Columbia is going to have a...
That's a rainforest.
A rude awakening there. I mean, the folks got to better wake up pretty soon before it's all gone.
Well, the one thing I think that's a major concern in the West is they're not properly land managing the area. They build these houses in areas that require a forest fire. And people don't know this, that those seeds only germinate if there's a fire. It's so important to know that. Why are they moving into somewhere where the seeds have evolved to have fires to plant? That's crazy. Why would you want to move somewhere like that? I mean, I'm not trying to, you know, criticize the people living there now, but why would you want to build a new house there? If you had a forest fire and there's trees around your area that have seeds that need to be burnt to start germinating into the soil, I think there'd be a hint. Nature doesn't want you here. That's just me,
yeah,
you know?
It's getting crazy. I mean, it just, everything's growing so fast, and I don't know. There's going to be a sudden awakening or turnaround or something that maybe economically it'll fix itself, but I don't know.
It's a hard one.
Yeah, it is tough. It is tough.
You know, you see countries like that China where the people started revolting against the government, and it started getting quite serious enough for China to actually turn around and be like, wait a second, we need to stop the zero COVID policy. And completely, they've reversed it completely, 100%, 180. It's a 180 move.
They did already?
Yeah, they just recently redid a 180 on that. So now they're like, oh, COVID's not as serious. And now they're, maybe before.
Well, that's because the people weren't going to work.
people were rioting.
Well, that too.
That was a major thing. They started really mass rioting.
Did the army quit? Did the army decide not to shoot people?
This time, yeah, I guess.
This time, last time.
Yeah, Tiananmen Square. Yeah. I signed a video too about that because.
Yeah, I saw that.
Because, you know, that's something that needs to be.
Terrible.
People need to know about those things because it's not just the only incidents. Everyone points to America and talks about the four dead in Ohio, and I'm sitting there thinking, how about the thousands dead in Tiananmen Square? You know, like, it's not about a whataboutism, but like four dead in Ohio, that was a bunch of National Guards that shouldn't have been shooting and got panicked and shot somebody. Whereas in Tiananmen Square, they were ordered to kill those people.
Well, I was in the Army, and I know there's guys in there that would have enjoyed shooting.
Oh, sure.
They don't care what they're...
I knew guys that were too.
I joined
like that.
The Army. They joined the Army just so they could kill somebody.
Yep. They didn't care who it was, yeah.
Yeah, right.
I served with guys
total
like
nut
that.
Jobs.
Yeah, yeah. I served with guys like that that were willing to just shoot anybody. That they actually just wanted to go out and shoot somebody legally. And I always felt the heebie-jeebies around them, thinking this guy's like a psychopath. You know?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I don't, that's not the term that I'd want to use in psychology. I don't want to diagnose them. But let's just say that many of those guys fit the antisocial personality disorders quite closely to the definition, like the 10 definitions or 8 definitions that they required.
That was so scary when I got drafted. Oh, that was scary. I think, oh, man, these guys, this is what's going to protect our country?
Yeah,
oh, we're
right.
In trouble. We're in trouble. They couldn't even, they're fighting amongst themselves.
Yep.
Hey, you idiots, you know, the enemy's over there, not here.
Right.
Oh, you know, yeah. Geez, they want to shoot each other. I'm thinking, whew.
Yeah.
Crazy. Crazy, crazy. Hey, on that happy note, you want to call it a day? We BS'd enough. How long have we been BS'ing?
Hour and 5 minutes.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, we better sign off before somebody reports us.
Right.
You know.
I know. Taking up all the time.
Reports us to the Google police or something. Oh, I don't know. Hey, that was fun. That's just to shoot the breeze. Oh, we learned about the Amish.
I didn't know that.
Black hats. I didn't know that meant anything. Yeah. I always wanted me a straw hat like that they wear. Pretty slick.
You should ask them to make
one.
I
never got one. Well, they got stores where you can buy them, you know, way out in the country there. But I never did. Maybe someday.
You never know.
I'm still young yet.
We'll hook you up, Bill.
All right. Well, say goodnight. Say goodnight, Seth, to everybody.
Goodnight. Goodnight.
We'll see you again next Tuesday, if that's okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. We'll let the music play until the next space there, and we'll see you all next time.
See ya.